Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Nirmal Bang Institutional Equities, I welcome you all to this session with APAR Industries as part of our week-long investor conference. At the outset, I would like to thank the management of APAR Industries for giving us the opportunity to host them at our conference. The management of APAR is represented by Mr. Ramesh Iyer, CFO. I would request the management to commence this session with some opening remarks on the business environment as it stands today, further to which we will open the floor to the investors for the Q&A session. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Iyer.
Good afternoon, and thank you for this call. To begin with, I'd like to give a macro overview of the environment that is shaping up in that as we see in recent times. And overall, where do we see growth opportunities for APAR Industries, followed by a deep dive into each of our divisions' performance in this year and how do we look forward in the future years. So overall, if you see the current macro environment and geopolitical issues that are prevailing globally, is favoring our industry and our businesses in, you know, fundamentally many ways. You know, to specifically, there are three broad areas that we see it as benefiting us. The first area is clearly in terms of push towards the renewable energies. You are actually seeing a lot of solar installations, wind installations coming up globally in several parts. And this actually is helping our businesses and all the three divisions, because all the products in our divisions are actually needing has a role to play in this renewable energy sources. You will need the cables for the power generation that happens in the solar panels, in the windmills, where you need different types of cables going into these installations. And also, if you see from renewables point of view, the place of generation and the place of consumption is different. So you'll see a lot of generation happening at place X and the consumption happening at place Y. So you need actually to transmit this power from X to Y, and there's opportunity for the transmission network to come in. And for that, you know, we have our conductor division and the conductor products that actually helps in transmitting power from one place to the another place. And as you see a lot of transmission network being laid down across the globe for all these projects, you will actually see a lot of transformers also getting stabilized. And for all the transformers, you'll actually need transformer oil also. So in our oil business, about 1/3 of our products goes into transformer oil. And as you see more transmission lines setting up, more transformers needing, you will see an increase in the requirement of a transformer oil also. So the entire area on the push towards renewables into solar, into wind, will actually see a good amount of opportunities in across all the three divisions that we have. The second big area which we see as a growth drivers in future times to come is the spends that is happening on the infrastructure across the globe. And even on the infrastructure, you know, there are specific areas like, you know, public transportation, where we specifically see a lot of momentum getting picked up. You see, railways are spending a lot of money on railways. There's a lot of metro work that happens in India and also in some other overseas geographies. A lot of electrical vehicles push towards that will happen. And you need a completely different infrastructure. You need, you know, the charging station, the power to get into the different charging station. And then from the charging station to the vehicle, there's a different cabling solution that you need. And also within the vehicle, you need a different cable solution. So the area of public transportation and infrastructure spending is clearly something that we see opportunities coming up in times to come, particularly in some of the advanced countries where the transmission lines were laid way back 4 to 5 decades old and are due for changes there. So that's clearly another area where we see a lot of developments and a lot of, you know, expansion happening in times to come. And the last area is on this the space that is happening on the 5G rollout. Some of the countries like US is very fast in terms of rolling out this 5G, and you'll see a broad area of telecom networking solutions really coming up there. So that's another piece that we see in future times to come. And if you look at all this in perspective, clearly we see this is not a country-specific, a geography-specific, or a continent-specific spends or an opportunity that is coming. It's actually going to happen on a pan-global basis. World over, you will see developments happening. So it's not restricted to some part of the geography where we see spends coming up high. In some years, there could be higher spends in one geography. But clearly, as you progress, you'll see spends increasing in other parts of the world as well. So clearly, we see it as not only it's India-centric phenomenon, but it's going to be a global-led phenomenon. And also, what we see is not going to be a 1 to 2 years kind of horizon. We are actually able to see visualize this over the next 5 years to 10 years. It's going to be a decade-long thing, because you'll never see all the spends happening in 1 year or in a basket of years. But globally, over a period of next decade, we clearly see these opportunities coming up in all these three areas. So that's a very macro overview of where we see as opportunities coming up. Now I'll quickly get on to each individual divisions, deep dive into the three divisions that we have, and then open the floor to question and answers. I do have the presentation extract that we have loaded onto website. Maybe some of those slides are relevant here, which I'm just sharing in this board. So the first division that I would like to start is this conductor division. If you see the conductor division, basically what has happened over the last decade, there has clearly been a transformation journey in our division over the last decade. Now, what started as an ACSR conductor division, even in 2014, of course, the division was set up in 1958. Originated, the company was incorporated with this division. And by 2014, we had largely dealt in one particular conductor, which is this conventional conductor, ACSR type conductor. Over the years, we've been seeing a lot of competition in this particular space the price becoming as a competitive force, a lot of players coming into the market. And we felt the need to diversify our portfolios. Hello. Yeah. We need to diversify this product portfolio from what used to be an ACSR type conductor way back in 2014. And as you see, a lot of urbanization happening, a lot of cities where more populations are flocking into the city and the requirements of electricity going up. The current transmission line has a limited capacity to transmit power from one place to another space. And therefore, a lot of these premium products, which is our HTLS premium product, OPGW, and also copper conductors were being developed over the years and has started reaping the fruits very recently. So we have this HTLS project, which has the capacity to transmit high transmission and with a low sag, so that the requirement in the city is being high, you're able to transmit high the electricity requirements in the same infrastructure or the same corridor that is there. So you don't have to spend additional amount on infrastructure, building new towers, creating new right of way. But the existing lines, you do a reconductoring, you pull down the current conductors and you reconduct the wire, and you're able to transmit a much higher electricity over the same corridor there. Now, it's a bit technical, and also, it's all design specific depending on the requirements of the conductor the customers in terms of, reducing the transmission losses, in terms of ensuring it the conductor stays for a long period of time. And also, there are specific nuances which are needed in terms of training the labor to do the reconductoring. You'll have the reconductoring line going around mountainous ranges over the railways, and those difficult parts where it needs very specialist gangs of manpower, design and technology, which actually we have been pioneering it and using in our products. So this is not only a product that we supply, but it's also solution oriented, looking at the design requirements of the customer. And that's how we have this premium product in our basket. So this we have been seeing good amount of traction in the last few years. One reason due to which our margins has been consistently on the higher side in this division. Similarly, we have OPGW as a product and solution. Typically, all this conductor lines have an earthing wire. We are able to have this not only as earthing, but also put an optical fiber into it. So it helps us to generate not only the earthing part, but also in terms of a data transmission. And for our railways, we've been using the copper conductors. We've been supplying conductors to Indian Railways, having a higher share into that thing. And most of the electrification on the Indian Railways has been happened with the copper conductors that our industries have supplied. And beyond the Indian railway electrification, once you see a lot of advancements in railways in terms of far high-speed trains, bullet trains, Vande Bharat trains, metro rails coming up, you will see different type of conductors that will be needed for this railway expansion. And we already have a product, which is this copper magnesium that we have been supplying to this Delhi Metro. And once we see this electrification happening up, then we'll see another round of product usage for industry. Broadly, if you look at the end of 2022, our premium products, which is HTLS, OPGW, and copper conductors, was close to about 50% of the business, even as of the end of 22. And you see margins kind of going up from what it used to be 10 years ahead to 2022. Now, in the last 9 months, what has fundamentally changed in this particular division is that not only one half of the product has been premium, but the other half, which is a non-premium product, that margin has also expanded exponentially because our opportunities in overseas market have been increasing. So this in the last 9 months, we have been looking at export to market aggressively for our non-premium products as well, mainly to the Americas and in Australia. And if you see in FY23, not only my premium product has increased the share, but the non-premium product has also increased the share. So suddenly in this year, you are actually finding that the entire conductor business has not only been profitable, but highly profitable. Largely because of the orders that we've been getting from overseas market. And to that extent, our domestic conductors business, which has been already competitive with price becoming an issue, we have been reducing our exposure there and concentrating more on the overseas market, which is giving us a high margin there. So on the premium part of it, we are largely into India and Asian countries, which is already at high margin. And on the non-premium part, because of the export opportunities that is coming up, we are able to get a high margin there. And if you look at from an export point of view, they not only look at the price, they look at several other factors like the quality of the product and the reputation of the suppliers, the adherence to the delivery time. The element, the intensity to which we do risk management within the company. So this whole lot of things that we see over there beyond the price and for which our margins has been on a higher side there. So that was quickly on the conductor division. I'll move to so if you look at this particular slide, this talks about our competitive advantage in the conductor division. So as I talked about on the premium products, it's not only the product, but it's also the design and the technology and the know-how involved that acts as a barrier to entry for the competition. There are special shielding mechanism with sophisticated equipments to protect the carbon core, which is inside of this HTLS product. Customers here not only look at the price, they look at the life cycle cost to reduce the transmission losses, and they need a lot of pre-specifications for purchases. And it's an entire solution-oriented ecosystem of training manpower, gangs required to do complex tasks with minimal power outages involved. So these are some of the competitive advantages that we have on the premium products of our conductor division. If you look at the non-premium, which is the conventional products, and largely in the exports market, which has increased a lot in the last 9 months, they not only look at the price, as I mentioned, they look at capacity, delivering large volumes in a short period of time, quality and reliability. they prefer parties where, you know, they can depend upon companies that have a very strong risk management framework, especially in the area of aluminum and copper hedging. They don't want to deal with people who, you know, don't get into all this hedging, and, you know, thereby they postpone their delivery for the aluminum and copper price to come at the right time. So that's something they prefer. So we have a very strong risk management thing. We do 100% hedging of our aluminum and copper for all the orders that we get. And some of these requirements actually help us, you know, to make some weak players ineligible. And that's where we have a competitive advantage on the conductor division. Quickly moving on to the cable division. Here, we are the largest domestic player in the renewables segment. We have power cables. We are there into house wire end cables. We are there into elastomeric cables, which are all the specialized application cables going into railways, locos, coaches. It gets into shipping, defense line. All the solar and, you know, wind cable all gets into elastomeric cable. We also have this E-beam irradiated cables we use for some of our elastomeric cable as well as house wire. And we have this OFC and special hybrid cables over there. So cable also, if you see fundamentally what has changed in the last, 12 months or so is our exports share has significantly gone up. What used to be about 25% odd in earlier years. If you see quarter three is already standing at about 50% share. And here also we are able to see momentum coming up from, you know, the structural growth drivers that we talked about in the opening remarks in terms of, you know, requirements of cables from overseas geographies, and, you know, the infrastructure spends. China plus one strategy is also helping us with the duty differential between China and India. It's helping us. And our exports there to US has increased substantially from what it used to be almost nil, you know, in the first half of the last year. So here also, if you look at the domestic cable is what, you know, gives us a low margin. And, you know, we are also looking at markets which are giving us a high margin products there. And if you see the trend in EBITDA has consistently increased from mid digits, you know, last year, to about, you know, 12% in the quarter three. And on a YTD November, December basis, we are close to about 10% over there. So cable market, we see opportunities even going forward as we see the requirements of infrastructure, renewables increasing in developed markets and developing markets. This is going to be our fastest growing business in times to come. So branding on houseware is increasing. As you also know, in our earning calls, we've been saying the light duty cable business, which was largely into two states by March 22, has now gone to 13 states. So we have increased our distributor presence from about 19 to close to about 100. Our retail count presence has gone up from 300 to about 1500. We have increasing our product awareness in terms of demos, electrician meets. That happens as we have been talking earlier. We have three basic unique propositions when it comes to our LDC business. It has a 50-year life. It can carry 50% more current than the other cables that are available in the market. And it is melt resistant. So it takes a long time before the insulation gets melted. And it has much more ability to withstand all the short circuits over there. So these are some of the three unique advantages that we are creating awareness through our demos and electrician meets. And this business is something that we'll see growth every year, close to about 120 crores last year. This year we'll see 200 crores, going up to about 500 crores in 2 years' time. And this expansion is going to lead to this growth coming in future years. Again, we have a competitive advantage in cable division in terms of E-beam technology. We are the only company with E-beam on the house wiring thing, which actually acts as a first mover advantage for us to give this unique USP that I mentioned about. We are the leading player in the renewable space in India on the solar and the wind segment. In terms of US market, we have the highest number of UL certificate of compliance for India. For sale of cables in the United States gives us a competitive advantages in terms of tapping the market there in the US. We have a wide range of cables for an industry that we serve. It's railways, locomotives, coaches, shipping, defense, etc. So some of these advantages are there on our cable division that we feel, you know, given the structural changes also happening, this is something which is going to be our fastest growing segment in times to come. Quickly on to oils and lubricants. This is a business that will grow about, you know, we're talking about a 5-6% volume growth in future. Again, here, one third of the business is transformer oil, which will actually grow as your transmission network goes up, as you put more spin on transformers and infrastructure going up. We'll see this transformer oil business also growing up in line with those transmission networks. Here we talk about our EBITDA margin, which is in line with the threshold margin. The 9-month EBITDA is about 5,000 per KL. That's the number that, you know, we look at continuing in the future here. We do have competitive advantage in the oil division as well. We are about the third largest global player coming to transfer oils. We have no approvals in most large OEMs and transmission companies. We have a at UAE as well as a plant in India where we are able to deliver the products at, you know, a low cost to the customers. Telecom, as I talked about, it's something that, you know, it's going to be in future. We have this vision to increase our role in telecom as well. And with all this 5G and rollout coming up, this is also an opportunity that we see increasing in the future times. This is just a broad mix of our customers where we are selling. About exports account for about 47% of our mix. Various industry-specific industry groups account for 16% and 9%. A lot goes to the transmission companies, the EPC as well as utilities companies, about 5+8%. And, you know, we just about 1.5% share that goes to the electricity distribution companies, both government and private. So that's a broad revenue mix that we have. In terms of quality of receivables, about 45% of our receivables are secured under various means that is available in the market. About 22% goes to transmission companies and sector-specific companies, and the rest 33% is unsecured, of which about 60% are with entities where we are having business relationship over 3 years. Risk management framework that I mentioned, we have a very strong risk management framework when it comes to customer credit risk assessment in terms of evaluating the customers and their background, practices for setting up credit limits, etc. In-house business legal team to understand and align the contractual terms and conditions. We have a very strong metal risk management framework, so we are insulated with the volatility in the price of aluminum and copper because the increase and decrease gets passed on to my customers. And also on the forex and interest rate management, we have processes and methodology in place to hedge the forex and interest rate. And this actually forms an integral part of the customer pricing to ensure my costs are completely passed on to the customers. So these are the few extracts which I thought were, you know, relevant. Of course, the detailed presentation is already there in the website, but some of these extracts can help you to, you know, set the floor for this call. So with that, I open the floor to questions from your end.
Thank you, sir, for your detailed presentation. Participants, we shall now open the floor for Q&A. To ask a question, please use raise hand function or come in directly by introducing yourself and your company. Sir, we have a question from Mr. Dheeraj Sajdeva from Roha. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, hi. Thank you for the presentation. Just wanted to know, your conductor business had probably one of the highest margins, EBITDA per ton at 50,000. And you mentioned about the premium products at 44%. So basically, you know, what is this driven by, and whether the export market is stronger and whether it is sustainable, or the correction in steel prices has led to this kind of number in the quarter gone by, or just an element of softer freight cost as well?
There are multiple things that is happening in this, you know, conductor division, especially in the 9 months of FY23. One is that our premium product range has, you know, been close to half of the business, and it always used to be there in the last 2 years also. But the other fundamental change that has happened is that the non-premium product, our share of exports is high. So now we have been exporting most of our non-premium product to the markets, as I said. And that also is happening because the structural growth drivers are happening in some of the developed countries in terms of spends on infra, spends on renewable. China Plus One strategy is actually helping us. People need a reliable, reputed vendor apart from the China market there. And suddenly what we've been seeing is that there's a good amount of opportunities in the export market. So we are actually tapping those opportunities and giving us a much higher pricing and margin advantages. Of course, there are some, tailwinds in terms of freight and steel, but, the larger part of this increase in margin is basically due to, the exports going up in this division, which is actually giving us a high margin there. Now, going forward, what we feel is that some of these structural changes that is happening globally, it's not going to be a temporary phenomenon, especially when you look at, renewables and infra spends and your China Plus One, etc. So these largely, as we see here, it's going to be there for a considerable period of time. So as long as these drivers, these geopolitical issues and macro environment continues, definitely this is going to be benefiting for us, and we'll see margins and the healthy number, which is not only my premium product giving a higher margin, but also my non-premium product giving a good margins. Now, to what extent the margins will get driven by each of these structural changes, we'll actually time will tell. But clearly, we feel that in the short term, this momentum definitely will continue. And even for a long term, because of a transformation that's happened and the product mix has changed, clearly we are seeing that EBITDA, which used to be about 10,000, 12,000 per metric ton now a couple of years ago, that base definitely would have gone back now to about 25,000 close to per metric ton. Plus, as and when we see this, structural changes and, those tailwinds coming up in terms of orders from overseas market, faster delivery times, China Plus One, that will be an incremental to this baseline margin of 25,000 per metric ton. The only thing is that we can't give this so high margin that we've been getting now in future, because future we don't know how the policies are going to change. But as you see today, with some of these structural changes are likely to continue. These are not likely to completely turn the reverse way in the short term. So as long as these structural drivers continue, our EBITDA margin would be consistently on a higher side.
Yeah, so what should we assume broadly as a rough range on a per ton basis?
So if you see YTD December, we are close to about 40,000 per metric ton. In a very short term, which could be about 3 months, 6 months, we expect, the margins to continue, about 30,000-35,000 per metric ton. And even in the long term, we feel that, as I said, if you're going to put a model for 5 years, 10 years, the baseline would definitely be 25,000. But now, as these structural changes are going to happen overseas, our margin will definitely be on a higher side that we have been getting on a YTD basis or on a short-term basis that is there. But we clearly look at a baseline, and then we see that how all these structural changes will impact our EBITDA. So directionally, we'll see that momentum continuing in a long-term point of view.
So this erstwhile 25,000 has become 40,000, can we say that, because of the structural changes that you mentioned?
No, so I would say that because of the transformation journey that has happened, the 10,000, 12,000 that used to be there, that has become 25,000. Mm-hmm. And because of all these structural changes that we've been seeing here, my EBITDA in the 9 months has been close to about 40,000 there. Of course, it has some tailwinds in terms of the freight and steel, as you see, but also a large part is because of, the customer mix has changed. My export proportion has gone up. My premium products has gone up. So those all have been there driving the business for the last 9 months. And, as we see things going up in future, it depends on all the tailwinds and also the structural changes that is happening. And therefore, we feel that the baseline EBITDA, we can safely assume to be about 25,000 per metric ton. And okay, then some of these benefits coming up, it would be add on to this number.
Okay. Then on the cables business, again, we had a very strong growth in the export market. Again, given what is happening on the export market, can we see that this is also sustainable as a trend in terms of growth or the sales volumes that we're talking about?
Yes, so cables, we feel it will be sustainable in future also, because our addressable market in the cable is much higher. And we are looking at about 25 to 30% growth in value terms over the next 5 years or so. Clearly, we will have that visibility there. And what is also driving this business is all this US market and the Australian market for metro projects and all the infrastructure spends there, which is clearly driving this market. Clearly, we are able to see that momentum continuing. If you look at last 2-3 years, we are about 1,200 crore. 2 years ago, we've gone to 2,000 crore. This year, we'll be close to about 3,200 crores. And from there, we're also looking at about 25% growth year on year basis, consistently.
Okay, that's great. So margin should stabilize around 11% in cables business?
Margin, we feel it will be double digit. So it used to be double digit even pre-COVID times. During COVID times, it was came back to mid digits. And if you see every quarter is consistently increasing. Q3 had close to about 11.8% and YTD is about 9.8%. So we feel that it will clearly be in the double digit, early double digit numbers, and with all economies of scale, on a long term, it should, clearly look at, from that levels.
Okay. And just last thing on the, did we have experience this on the specialty oils realization and some inventory losses?
So specialty oils, you'll actually have to see the number over a 12-month period, because oil is the only commodity in our basket that cannot be hedged. So what happens is that in terms of high oil prices, depending on what cost you procure the inventory, the margins change. So if you look at the first quarter of this year, we had a very high profit. So though we talk about 5,000 to 6,000 per KL, in the first quarter, we are close to about 9,000 per KL, because oil price, selling prices were high and the costs were low. As oil prices cost went on to increase, your second quarter and third quarter selling price actually came down and the cost was high. So you see just about lower margin in the Q2 and Q3. Now, as you liquidate all this high cost inventory, again, you come back to your normal average about 5,000 to 6,000 per KL. So if you see YTD now, December, we are close to about 5,000 rupees per KL, which is what we have been guiding. And, in future also, we look at 12-month guidance about 5,000 to 6,000 per kg.
Okay. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Reminder to the participants, to ask a question, please use raise hand function or come in directly by introducing yourself and your company.
Can I go ahead with some questions?
Yeah, Prashil, as the queue assembles, you go ahead.
So first is a very basic question. So could you highlight the difference between a conductor cable and a wire?
So conductors are bare. If you just even look at some of the highways and roads outside, there's two. You look at all these towers, it gets connected with a black thing there. That's what is called conductor, which is without insulation. So it's just aluminium. Conductors are made from aluminium ingots, and there's no insulation over there. Cables is where there's an insulation. So on the cable, every cable has a conductor, which could be either aluminium or copper. And on that conductor, if you do an insulation, then you get all this cables. So you can have cables for some of the high-end applications, like specialized all this industry, power cables, which go underground, or all this shipping or defense or railway, where different kinds of cable application goes over there. Wires is something which is you use inside your house and building wire, which is a very thin wire which is there, which also has an insulation. So every cable will have insulation, which actually protects you from all this current and over there. So even if you touch a cable, you don't feel that shock or something. But the conductors never has an insulation. It is a bare conductor. So for long distance transmission, and if you look at over the mountains or over the railways which are overhead, everything goes through the conductor over there. So you don't need to protect that, because it's beyond the touch of human person or the traffic that goes by. But all the cable would be all your underground, and even if you touch, there is no risk. So that's the very broad difference between conductor, cable, and wire.
Thank you, sir. A question on volumes of our conductor business. So our volumes were somewhere around 183,000 during FY19, but they have dipped to somewhere around 107 during FY22. And this year we are most likely to touch somewhere around a 140 kind of a mark. So first thing is why there was a dip, and second thing is what is the outlook in terms of volumes for the conductor business?
So the dip has actually happened because the product mix has actually changed. So what used to be that ECSR conductors, it used to be very heavy conductors there. So now the conductors can be measured either in kilometers or metric ton. So you need so much kilometers to cover, like from one tower to another tower, if you need X amount of kilometers. The earlier type of conductors had a higher weight. So you know, the weight of the conductors was much higher as compared to the for the kilometer which is there. As we have been premiumizing our portfolio, as we have been diversifying our product mix to much profitable products, the weight to kilometer ratio is much less. You don't need, for the premium products, you don't need the same amount of weight for the same kilometers as was needed in the old conventional conductors there. So over time, as we've been premiumizing, diversifying, the weight that is needed for this conductor is much less than what it used to be earlier. At the same time, these premium products are having a much higher margin than what the old product used to have. So even if you see the volume getting dipped from what used to be 180 or 2 lakh earlier to 110,000 last year, my proportion of premium products has gone up, and therefore even with that less volume per volume tons, you are able to get a higher margin per metric ton. That was the first part of the question. The second part, in terms of going forward, we are looking at about 10% to 15% growth in the conductor volume over the next few years.
So, sir, secondly, in the opening remarks, you highlighted that, a lot of demand for conventional is coming from the export region. So is there a possibility of exporting high premium products into these export regions, and thus our realizations could go even higher?
So as of now, we are getting good demand from the non-premium products there. As we see, the requirements of customers, if there are opportunities, we would even be exporting the premium products over there. Currently, Raji, we have been exporting premium products in neighboring countries to India. But if there is demand potential coming up, we will be even doing that.
Thank you, sir. A question was regarding the cable segment. So is it possible to give a broad revenue of sub-segment of the cables in terms of, let's say, LDC and the other, what would be the revenues and what would the margin profile for each subsegment of cables would look like?
So LDC is something that we are focusing a lot now. Currently, it is very less, about just 120 crore for last year, and this year we're talking about 200 crores. But it's going to be a very specific focus area, as you saw in some of the slides that I presented earlier, channels that we're developing, our distribution presence, retail presence that we're developing. So this will grow from 200 crore in this year to about 500 crores a couple of years down the line. And then broadly, we have this elastomeric cable, which is all this specialized cable, which is about some 25 to 30% of our total cable business. OFC business is about 10-odd%. And the rest would be largely this power cable, which is there for domestic as well as exports. But now the margins, broadly what happens is that because these are all specific order based, depending on requirement of the customer, the margin profile and different things would be are different. So each of this, it all depends on the requirements of the customer, the application in which it is used. So it's very difficult to give particular view about how much the margins will be for each of these business verticals.
Sure, sir. That was very helpful. A question in the LDC part of the pie. So we highlighted that, we have expanded to 13 states and our reach has been increasing exponentially. But during the calls, we are still guiding for an annual addition of around 1.5 billion of top line, don't you think there should be some proportional increase in the top line for the from the LDC?
The LDC, we are talking about 120 crore going to 200 crores this year, as we have been expanding this. So this increase is happening only this year. Earlier, we used to be only in two states. And largely, you know, the increase in other 13 states largely happened at the beginning of this calendar year. So as we see the channels getting up, channels getting established, the numbers will grow in future.
But don't you think it would be higher than kind of a 1.5 billion annual addition? So that is what we have been guiding, right, on the call. Annually, we would be adding 1.5 billion of top line on the cable. So don't you think the growth would be higher?
So, no, we are working on all the fundamentals. No? So, we never had these channels in other states apart from these two states. So, a lot of building blocks needs to be created. Once you have that in place, then you'll have a good feel of how the turnover will happen. And you need to select the right distributor, the schemes and the promotion, the awareness has to grow up. So, it cannot be just a push. As I said, we have a unique proposition in this LDC thing, which, you know, the other players in the market don't have on this e-beam thing. So all this has to go in sync. It's then the customers in the demos should increase, the presence should increase, and the collective view is what will drive that business. So we are looking at about 100 odd crores. And you know, if you're able to do well, better than this, so it will happen. But once you create all this infrastructure in place, that is a building block for the numbers to grow. But clearly, we are focusing a lot on this. As you've seen, we have a brand ambassador. We are going on air in terms of ad that is happening. There's a specific team within APAR who are looking at this LDC business. So all these fundamentals will help us to drive growth in future as well.
So just a follow-up on that. So we are in 13 states. So is there a target of adding more states by end of FY23 or end of FY24?
Yeah, we will. Our intention is to go beyond that as well. Also to ensure that the 13 states where we are, we'll increase our presence over there. So broadly, we look at increasing that presence in the next year as well.
And the focus would be largely in the urban or the tier one cities of the state and not the tier two, tier three cities.
Initially, yes. But of course, as we are going to focus this, so everything will just progress in future. So now once in place like Kerala, we'll then go into much more states. We've already present for a long time. So initially, it would be this place. And then over a period of time, it would be increasing after that.
And secondly, on the acceptance side, so you have done a decent enough sales and you are, so how is the customer acceptance for this e-beam house wires? Is it better than your normal housing wire? And the second on the pricing front, so how would the pricing be compared to a normal wire? So pricing differential, and is customer willing to accept that?
Yeah, so clearly customer response has been very positive. Because the customer look at safety, and they say that, this is a wire unit, it can carry 50% more current. It has a 50-year life, it's melt resistant. Who would not like to buy? A consumer who looks at safety, once nowadays in all your houses, the wire is all concealed. If anything happens to the wire, no one is going to, break your, walls and everything and relay all the wires. So he's going to put just wire once time, so you'd like to put the best wire there. And if it has these three unique propositions for safety point of view, everybody would be keen to do that. Knowing that your electricity requirement in the house will go up with work from home coming up, with all these robots and all this technology coming up, the requirement will go up. So if the wire has a 50% more current carrying capacity as compared to other wires, we feel that acceptance is much higher. And for the demos and the electrician meets that we do, and so if you show this to the ultimate consumer, there are clearly 9 out of 10 chances that the consumer will end up buying this product. So that has been our feedback based on the demos that we have been shown to them.
And secondly, so the focus will be more of a B2C or a B2B kind of a play. Would you be open to providing to these big residential projects and hence you would go for that, or what would be the smaller B2C kind of an approach?
It will be both. Both will be there.
Okay. And secondly, on the defense cable, so could you throw some light on the defense pie? Because, and is there an export opportunity in the defense cable possible?
So we don't give out those numbers specifically how much it is, but no, that is something which we will be doing in this Indian market as well. So largely it is India currently, and that will be our focus in future as well.
Okay, sir. On the demand side from the defense and the Navy, so how has the demand outlook been? Could you throw some light on that?
It has been increasing, and also the application has been increased. So, you know, there are very specific requirements about, you know, all this cabling that gets into specialized applications. So it's not a product, but, you know, it has a solution around it. So we work with all these sectors, you know, to get this product as per their requirement, and which has been our motto, our tagline is just tomorrow's solutions today, which shows that we are not only supplying the product but also help to give the entire solutions to them. So we will see this demand going up in future years as well. We are getting good traction on all the specialized sectors as well.
You have also highlighted that you are trying to grow your presence in the nuclear cable space. So what is that, and could you throw more light on that?
So we look at all the sectors, you know, as I said, you know, when you look at the sectors, we are there into nuclear, we are there into, you know, mining, shipping, defense, windmills, railways. These all comes under the bucket of elastomeric cable, which is all flexible cable, which is different from, you know, power cables, which is there. So, you know, we look at all this, we don't have any restriction in terms of the application. We have the widest range of cables available. And, you know, nuclear is also forming part of now the clean energy thing under the renewable thing. So we have a presence there also. And depending on the applications and customer requirements, we will be able to design the product and service them.
So on the competitive intensity, so do you find competitive intensity far less in these categories of, let's say, defense and nuclear cables, or is the competitiveness a bit similar? And where would be your competitive edge from the upper?
So in the elastomeric cables, clearly we see competitive intensity less over there. We are there into wide sectors that are there. And also, as we've been saying, that when it comes to solar and wind, we are the market leaders here in India. So wind, we have close to about 70% market share. Solar would be close to about 40-odd%. So on the specialized in the elastomeric cables, the intensity is less, competitive intensity is less.
Sure, sir. And the export, so, you know, we have been highlighting that we have got a lot of UL approvals, I think 18 or 19 odd UL approvals, and our export contribution in the elastomeric cables has been close to nil. So now post this approvals, what is the outlook particularly for this elastomeric cables? Could you throw some light on that?
So we are exporting this solar cables there, which is also elastomeric cable. So, you know, that's something we are exporting to US. And you know, so as we're saying that this is the highest, we are highest from India. And this actually takes a long time to get this approval, the stringent audit and other checks mechanism before we get this approval. So we are very betterly placed when it comes to, you know, tapping some of these overseas opportunities, be it on power or on elastomeric, when it comes to the US market.
And this would be margin accretive, right? The export pie.
Yeah, obviously.
Sure, sir. Sir, one thing, if we look at APAR, so we have been in the high capex phase from FY16 to FY22. So what are the benefits that are we reaping? And secondly, any major kind of a capex outlay that we are going to do going ahead?
You're already seeing the benefits of all this capex that has been done in the last several years. You know, the transformation of these conductors, the expansion of cables into the overseas market are all the result of, you know, several capex that have been thought much earlier in time. And now we are actually reaping the fruits of all this investment that has happened earlier. In terms of forward-looking capex, we feel that, you know, cable market and conductor division will need capex for us also. We are looking at, of course, about 300 to 350 crore of capex over the next year of FY24 or first half of FY25 to cater to the increased demand that we are seeing in the overseas market and Indian market.
Thank you, sir. Just a couple of questions on lubricant side. So we have done a partnership with a global brand, Eni, and could you throw some light on what color is the partnership, what partnership is there, and what are the benefits that we are getting out of this partnership?
We market this brand Eni, which is licensed from Italy. And you know, we have this retail presence in auto lubricants with them. So we supply all our ENI products under all our this vehicles, engine, oil and lubricants under the brand name of ENI.
And sir, what would be our market share here? And which states would we be present in the auto lubricants side?
We are present across India on this thing. We have a pan-India presence there. But our market share would be less because a lot of this other big players are also there. So we'll be, you know, way behind some of the other leading players in the industry.
Secondly, on the export, so is there a possibility that we, for export of this auto lubricants?
We are exporting even currently.
So what percentage would be the export?
Currently, it would be about, I need to check the number exactly. I don't remember it offhand. Maybe I'll get back to you separately on this.
Sure, sir. And sir, just a final question from my end. For APAR, if we want to see APAR from next 5, 7, or you know, even a 10-year horizon, so where do you think the next leg of growth will come? Is it from the cables? Is it from more premiumization of conductors? Or is it some more demand for the oil? So
clearly we see, you know, growth coming from cable and conductor division. As I talked about those structural changes that is happening overseas, which will need a lot of cable requirements, a lot of conductors as well. So we clearly see, you know, growth, talking about 25-30% value growth in cables, talking about 15% growth on conductors. We will have a premium share, it will have, you know, export share, which will be highly profitable for the division as a whole. So clearly, these two divisions would be the fast growing divisions for us. And even if you look at oil division, the transformer oil, which is about 1/3 of the business, will also grow up in line with the transmission networks and infra spends needing, because you need transformer oil for all the transformers in place, and you need transformers wherever you want to put the transmission lines there. So clearly the 2 out of 3 divisions and maybe 1/3 of the 3rd division would all stand to benefit with all this, you know, macro level geopolitical and the structural changes that is happening in the global front in the present times.
So just a follow-up on that. So basically, if we are seeing more cables division growing faster than the company, so two things could happen if my understanding is correct. Our overall business would become a very margin accretive. And secondly, would it be safe to assume that share of cables could go north of 50% somewhere 5-7 years down the line?
Yeah, I'm sure. So once you, you know, put all these growth numbers there, you know, you'll be able to know how the mix changes, both in terms of top line and bottom line. And if you look at our investor presentation, which is there on the website, we have included some more parameters within oil, cable and conductor. Then EBITDA to PAT ratio and EPS, how it is coming. So once you're able to put that numbers in place, you will see that, you know, the share of cable, how much it is growing from now and 5 years down the line.
Yeah, sure, sir. Thank you very much, sir, for patiently answering all my questions, and I wish you the very best.
Yeah, thanks, Tash.
Final reminder to the participants, to ask a question, please use raise hand function or come in directly by introducing yourself and your company. As there are no further questions, we shall now conclude this call. I shall once again thank the management of APAR Industries, Mr. Ramesh Iyer, and all the participants for giving us their time. Thank you so very much, sir.
Thank you so much. Thank you.